All right, Romans chapter number, Romans 13 in your Bibles this morning. And did I say Romans 12? Romans 13 is what I meant. And notice there in verse number 7, going through and talking about finances and how does God expect us to handle what he gives us? That principle that mentioned over and over and over, everything we have comes from God. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of life, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And everything that we have is from God. My paycheck is from God. The ability to go and work, the ability to go and do things, it's all a gift from God. And as realizing that truth, I realize that I am a steward of what God has entrusted me with. I was reading today in 1 Corinthians, where the Bible says it's required of a steward that a man be found faithful. And so God looks at my life and he looks at your life and he says, are we being faithful in everything? And really, stewardship and finance is really, it's really all-encompassing, because God expects me to be a good steward of my time, of my energy, of my strength, of my money, of my family. God expects me to be a good steward in everything. And I find it unique and really kind of troubling that there are a lot of Christians that think, well, because I show up to church and show up for Sunday school, then I'm a good steward of what God has given to me. And yet if we're not using our energy, if we're not using our time and our talents for God, are we really a good steward? I think about talents and abilities that God has given to each and every one of us. Are you using them to build the body of Christ? Are you using them to encourage one another? Are you using them to just be a blessing and make an impact in others' lives? We need to be good stewards of what God has given to us. And so we've been going through those different principles about debt. God owns everything, and I'm just a steward of what he's given to me. And today we come to Romans chapter number 13, and notice there in verse number 7, it says, render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Verse number 8, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Let's pray together and then we'll dive in this morning. Father, I pray you'd help me as I teach on this subject of debt. And Lord, I pray that we would leave with a determination to follow your biblical principles. In Jesus' name, amen. Debt is a killer for the United States of America, but really it's a killer in the local church. I've seen churches that have been doing great things for God, been growing, been seeing people saved, they've been expanding, and God blesses them, and then all of a sudden a pastor comes along and to keep up with the Joneses and the Smiths of other churches in the area, decides, let's take out $1 million or $2 million mortgage and build a bigger and more fancier building. And the philosophy and the thinking is, if you build it, they'll come. And they build these big mega buildings, and man, they spend crazy amounts of money on all these different things. And then what happens to the church cannot maintain that mortgage payment. And instead of being focused on souls and being focused on people and being focused upon the things that spiritually matter, a pastor and a people will become focused on, we've got to make the interest payment, we've got to pay the mortgage, and the teaching and the philosophy changes. Why? Because of the debt that a church incurs. Let me just say, my desire for Huntsville Bible Baptist Church is that we would continue to be debt-free. And I believe that is a biblical teaching. I really believe in Philippians 4, verse 19, where the Bible says, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You say, Pastor, what do we do one day if we're running 200 in the auditorium? What will we do? And really, there's some, we can have two services. The church I grew up in, New Hampshire, that was Pastor Klaus's philosophy. We are not going into debt. And church was growing, people were getting saved, and so he went from one service to two services, and we had the 8:30 service and the 11 o'clock service, and kept on growing, God kept blessing, and so he said, what do we do? We're going to have three services, and we had the 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock, and pastor's like, listen, we've got to build, we've got to do something, and so
they decided finally they raised the money for it and paid debt-free cash for the building. But, you know, we can utilize our space for God. But my desire is for us to stay debt-free. I believe we can do that. And I believe that's the best plan for a church. But what does the Bible say about debt? What does God say here in Romans chapter number 13 and verse number 8? He says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Let me just say by way of introduction, I grabbed a lot of information on debt, relationship with debt, from Focus on the Family. And I had some tremendous articles they wrote on it, grabbed some good stuff from there. Larry Burkett's another guy that I've gleaned a lot from. Dave Ramsey has a lot of good biblical principles, and there's some tremendous stuff. Randy Alcorn, there's different material that is out there that some guys have wrote great stuff on it, and so I've grabbed a lot of stuff from all different places. But I found this statistic online: 36% of America's young adults are living in their parents' basement or in their house. And why is that? Because they're having a hard time finding work. Many college graduates will graduate with crazy amounts of debt. And then they will struggle and they will falter and they'll move back home with mom and dad because they cannot pay that debt. Credit Nerd made these observations. They said the average American household typically carries $15,765 in credit card debt. The total debt owed by U.S. consumers is $729 billion. The average mortgage in 2015, the average American household had a mortgage of $172,341. Auto loans was $27,865. And student loans was $48,591. The United States of America as a whole, we are in debt. I believe it's $17 trillion was the latest number. And we are continuing to go deeper and deeper and deeper into debt. And let me say, if we continue down that path, it doesn't matter if it's Trump or if it's Hillary, then they both offer entitlement programs, and there's not a lot of, we are going to reform the way we're spending. If we continue going down that path, it will lead to the doom of our nation. Because that's anti-biblical, and obviously debt is something that will hinder us from doing great things. And so, what does the Bible say about debt? Those of you that carry a wallet, I think nowadays most cool kids have, you know, the smartphone, and man, their credit card's on there. But I think about those of you that are a little old school, all right? You know, you take out your wallet, right? I wonder how many credit cards do you have? I was thinking through this yesterday, and I said, you know, we don't have a lot of credit cards. And I started to think about it. Well, we got the Holiday Inn IHG credit card, because that gives us, you know, free platinum status and free hotel night a year at whatever hotel we want anywhere. So I said, we got that one, and we got the Chase credit card, we got the Bank of America credit card, we got the Wells Fargo credit card, we've got two Lowe's credit cards, we got the Lumber Liquidator credit card, and I'm like, man, you know what? I've got some credit cards. I've got 8 credit cards to my name. And let me just say, that's where we're at, right? And unfortunately, that's the attitude we have, is just go ahead and open up credit cards, no big deal, spend what you want to spend. But what does God say about debt? Let me say, first of all, in regarding this message, what we need to cover, first of all, what the Bible does not say about debt. Because there's a lot of misconceptions. Well, you know, this is what God... No, what does God say about debt? I think, first of all, the Bible does not say it is... The Bible does not say it's wise to borrow. The Bible doesn't say, hey, in such and such a verse, in such and such a place, it's a good thing to borrow. No, every time you read about debt, every time you read about money, the biblical philosophy and teaching is it's an unwise thing to borrow. Sam and Kelly, you've met them. They're going to school down there in Florida. And Kelly came and she said to me, she said, Steve, she said, how do I get a credit card? This was probably a year ago. I said, well, just call Chase Up or Bank of America and say, hey, can I have a credit card? That's how I did it back years ago. And she said, no, she said, they won't let me have a credit card. I said, well, what do they want you to do? She said, in order for me to get a credit card, I've got to open up a line of credit, a loan. And then once I get that loan, then I can open up a credit card because my credit will build. And the same with Sam. Sam's struggling with the same thing. He needs to build his credit before he'll get a credit card. And what is the world stressing? What do the TV commercials stress? They stress the importance of borrowing. Car commercials, I was watching it last night, watching the game. By the way, what a boring Alabama game that was. Put me to sleep. And I guess I was cheering for LSU, but that was boring, all right. But I was watching last night, and Cadillac had their commercial. 48 months interest-free on the brand-new Cadillac SUV. I'm like, man, that's probably answer to prayer right there. Interest-free even, right? And, yeah, but what's your payments? But what are they stressing? Hey, it's okay, go into debt for a vehicle. The furniture stores. Your furniture. I don't know what you guys do, but you know, I was watching, or I got in the mail, Ashley Furniture. You know, 48 months or... No, 84 months, I think it was, the advertisement. Interest-free on any purchase you make in the store. And what are they advertising? Buy new couches and buy new TVs and buy new whatever and just pay for it later, right? The department stores, I remember one of the first credit cards I ever opened up was Sears. And they told me, they said, I was buying socks, and they said, if you open a credit card, you get $10 off. Well, my socks were $8. I'm like, man, free socks if I open a credit card, right? And that was dumb. Opened it up. Why? Because I wanted free socks. I didn't want to pay for it. But department stores, some of you ladies, you've got Pottery Barn credit cards. I'm not preaching. My wife is sick today. But I think about, I was just there yesterday. And taking some stuff back. Would you like to open a Pottery Barn gift credit card? No. Of course, the spiritual place, Lowe's, they've got credit cards. And that's a worthwhile place to get credit cards. But Best Buy, Black Friday sale, put your TV that you get on the credit card for interest-free for 48 months, right? Everything is stressing credit card debt. The offer. By the way, you ever notice the offers to borrow usually are always on things that depreciate in value? You know, they're not saying, hey, you know, borrow for the house. No, they're things that are going down in value. Your vehicle, when you drive it out of the parking lot, your TV, whatever, your furniture goes down in value. And so what are they teaching? Hey, by the time you get it paid off, it's time for a new credit card. By the time you, or by the time for a new purchase. I think about my, I've got a family member and had credit card debt like crazy. And man, they were working to pay it off. That's the focus, you know. Dave Ramsey's snowball effect, you know, and man, they're throwing everything at it, right? They get paid off. The next month, they go all the way back into debt, and they put it all back on the credit card. I'm like, man, you knotheads, you know, what's your problem, you know? But they're just so enslaved. I got an uncle that had a Corvette. And man, he's working to pay that thing off, pay it off, pay it off, pay it off. He pays it off the next month. He goes down to the Toyota dealership and buys a brand new Toyota truck. I mean, just, you know, we're enslaved to debt. And by the way, it's a great business move for the credit card companies because they have their hooks in your bank account for most people's lives. And man, just continuously drawing interest, and those interest on those credit cards are through the roof. 24.99%, 18.99%. It is insane the amount of interest that they are getting. Toys R Us has a credit card. By the way, I just put this down. Parents, you better not go into debt for your kids' Christmas toys, all right? They won't be playing with it come summertime. You say, how do you know that? Because we just emptied the storage unit, and they're all the toys that my kids aren't playing with, all right? So what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible not say about that? The Bible does not say it's wise to borrow. All right, God does not put a stamp of approval, says, that's the best thing to do. Go out, open up a bunch of credit cards, and go into debt. It's unwise biblically to borrow. All right, the Bible does not say, however, that it's a sin to borrow. All right, you read in verse number 8, it says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. Verse number 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. He goes down, love thy neighbor as thyself. God does not say, God does not say, thus saith the Lord, you're not allowed to borrow. He did say this, though. He said, owe no man anything but love one another. God gives clear warnings about borrowing, but never says it's a sin. All right, God said, thou shalt not covet, right? He said, thou shalt not steal. You go through the Bible, and God never says, thou shalt not go into debt. But he says it's unwise. God is very clear when he prohibits something in the Bible.
But he never makes that statement, hey, don't do this. He just says, hey, the biblical philosophy and principle is don't borrow because it will hinder your walk with God. Look over in Philippians chapter number 4. Number 3, the Bible does not say that God will bail you out of your credit card purchases. Philippians chapter number 4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 19. Philippians 4 verse 19, familiar verse. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. People will say, well, God's going to bail me out of my credit card debt. God's going to bail me out of my debt. That's not what the Bible teaches. Bible teaches that God's going to supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What's a need? Is a need for you to go get a new TV? Is it a need for you to go and eat at Outback Steakhouse every day? Is it a need for you to go and just swipe the plastic card and not be a good steward of what God has entrusted you with? No, that's the thinking of the American way. We don't have it. It's okay. Just put it on the plastic card and we'll pay for it later. That's not living a life of faith. And the Bible does not teach that God will bail you out of your debt. God, what does the Bible say? God will provide for your needs. But he did not say he'd bail you out of your choices. All right, you make wrong choices and you're going to live with the consequences. I know people that have married the wrong individual and they've had to live with that consequence. I think about somebody that smokes. All right, you smoke for 40 years and you decide, you get right with God saying, God, I'm not going to continue smoking. And you give up your cigarettes. Well, it still doesn't negate the 40 years of putting that smoke into your body. And the consequences from that many times are lung cancer, right? Hey, God still forgives you. And, you know, you've made that a pattern of your life for 40 years, but still there's consequences for it. People that drink, you know, and they get saved or they get right with God. God, I've been drinking, I've been a drunk, and all those years of putting that liquor into my liver, and they've got a messed up liver. God forgives, but he doesn't remove the consequences. My friend Chris burned down a building. He had to go and pay his debt to society, right? He was forgiven by God. He got saved the week before he went to jail, but he still had to go to jail to pay his debt to society. Just because you're a child of God does not mean that all your whoopses are forgiven and you don't have to pay them back, all right? That's a misconception among many people that God always forgives sin, but he does not always take away the consequences. So what does the Bible not say about debt? He does not say it's wise to borrow. However, he did not say it's a sin to borrow. The Bible does not teach that God will bail you out of your debt. And number 4, the Bible does not teach that God will provide through a loan. You know, people say, well, I've got this line of credit, so this must be the will of God. Well, let me ask you, have you asked God to provide for your needs? Have you asked God to take care of that bill? Have you asked God to provide in a special way for you? I think so many times we, as Christians, our first answer to the problem is let's run down to the bank. Let's call the family members up and get a loan from them. Let's ask somebody for money. And we fail to get a loan with God and ask God for him to provide for us. I think about so many times in our lives, we've seen God provide in just amazing ways. It says in Proverbs 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Brother Dwayne, would you kick the microphone on? My battery just went on it. But, so many times, what do we fail to do? We fail to trust God. We fail to say, Lord, I'm trusting you, even though I don't know how you're gonna provide. When we traveled in evangelism, we did it for 9.5 years. It was amazing to see how many times God provided for us. Countless times. I was sitting yesterday just thinking through this, and I think about how someone provided for us. We were at a church, and there was a former state cop. We had Josiah and Lily at the time. Former state cop was there, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "let me see your van." So we went out to the van, and he jumped in there, and he saw our car seats, Walmart car seats, right? And he gets in there, and he starts jiggling back and forth, and he's like, "Yep, if you get in a car wreck, your kids are going to die." I'm like, "What?" He's like, "Yeah, your kids are." And my wife's there. You know, she's having a heart attack. I said, "Well, what do you suggest, preacher?"
He says, oh, he said, don't worry about it. He says, I'm ordering car seats for you guys. And if you've seen our car seats, they're like, you know, a big balloon. I mean, it's got side impact airbags, you know. I mean, it's got everything, you know. But he's like, yeah, you need new car seats. And man, God provided. God took care of those car seats for us. I think about one time I was preaching at a church and a guy came up to me. He said, preacher, you need some new tires. I said, yeah, but don't have the money for it right now. But you're right, we do. He said, don't worry about it. He said, let's go down, and we're getting you the Michelin Touring tires, 90,000 miles on it, and put it on his credit card. I had a guy that that bought a 2002 Toyota Camry for me, and we needed a vehicle. My Chrissy, this was when we first got married. Her Honda blew up, the head gasket blew, and God put on a man's heart to give us a vehicle. I think about many times we come home broke, and there would be a $1,000 check waiting in the mail. That probably happened 25 times for us as we traveled over the 9 years in evangelism. I remember one time there was gift cards like crazy. I remember one time in 2007, we were broke. We were out of meetings. We were just discouraged. And in just a couple of days, we had over $3,500 come in just people burdened about our ministry. I remember one December, and in evangelism, December is famine because nobody's doing revival meetings, and so you struggle that month. And I remember, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, God provided over $22,000 for us in the month of December. Just phenomenal, the stories that I could tell about how God provided. But what you say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying we gave God a chance to provide for us. So many times when we have a need, we immediately say, forget trusting God, we're going to go borrow on it. And God does not, the thinking that God will provide through a loan may not be the correct way. We need to make sure that we are in the will of God, seeking his face when it comes to debt, okay? So what the Bible does not say about debt, but notice this morning what the Bible says about debt. Look in 1 Timothy chapter number 5. 1 Timothy chapter number 5 and verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and chapter 6 and verse number 8. No, all right. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8. Chapter 6 is good too. But it says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Let me say, there are certain circumstances in which it is okay to borrow. You say, what are those circumstances, preacher? Medical emergencies? Emergencies that you were not prepared for. God expects us to provide for our families, but I put two things down: medical emergencies and funeral arrangements. Those would be genuine. And I racked my brain. I'm sitting there thinking, what would be an exception? What would be? And those were the two that I came up with. There may be some more. It's definitely not for a It's definitely not for a video game. It's definitely not for, you know, the new dirt bike. But, hey, there are certain circumstances where, hey, there are exceptions. I think about a missionary friend of ours that was out of our church in Pennsylvania, Kerry Owens, serving the Lord in Africa, Cambodia. No, I don't know where she was at. She was somewhere over in Africa. And, man, she had malaria. She was dying. And they had to life flight her out of Africa and back to the States. And that bill was over $35,000. What do you do in a situation like that? You're going to die on the mission field? Or are you going to, you know? So there are certain exceptions for it, all right? But is it wise? No. So the Bible says there are certain exceptions. But look in Psalm chapter number 37. Psalm chapter number 37 in verse number 21. If you are in debt, like the average American is, this verse is powerful. Psalm 37:21. The Bible says, the wicked borroweth and payeth not again, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. All right, what does the Bible say? Certain circumstances, okay. But if you borrow, you're a wicked individual if you don't repay it. You are wicked if you do not repay your debts. I was talking to one of my best friends yesterday, a preacher, and we were just talking. I said, "Hey, Brother Conley," I said, I'm going to tell you, the advice I gave you a couple months ago, I said, I'm going to tell the church today. He started laughing. He said, what? He said the one about debt. I said, yeah. Brother Conley, back 3-4 years ago, 37, 38, had a major heart attack. And Ben went to the Concord, New Hampshire hospital and made emergency surgery. He did not have insurance at that time. And hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars in debt from the doctor bills. And we were talking 6-7 months ago, and he said, preacher, he said, what do I do? I said, well, Brother Conley, I said, if it was me, here's what I would do. I said, I would get alone in my room, and I would take my Bible, and I would close my eyes, and I would flip through my Bible, not looking at it, and I would take my finger and hope it lands on chapter 7 or chapter 11. You guys know what I'm talking about? All right, bankruptcy. Chapter 7, chapter 11. I said, that's what I'd do. But let me just say, that's wicked, all right? Listen, you are to pay what you owe. And I believe the U.S. courts have a system, even if you have declared bankruptcy, where you can repay what you owe. And listen, it's a wicked thing. If you rack up, and by the way, you're the one that signs the thing. You're the one that makes the purchases. It's a wicked thing not to repay it. It's a wicked thing to not do the right things. Hospitals will work with you. They'll take $5 a month for the rest of your life to get your bill paid off. They will work with you. So the Bible clearly teaches. What does it say? It says it's a wicked thing not to repay your debts. I love what verse 21 says, though. It says, but the righteous showeth mercy and giveth. A righteous man, you know what he's doing? He's giving. Are you a giver or are you a stealer? Are you a thief? Are you stealing from a bank and not repaying? Listen, if you're getting those notices and you can't genuinely pay those bills, you need to communicate with them and you need to work out a plan to where you are staying current with those bills. It's a wicked thing not to repay. So what does the Bible say about debt? There are some circumstances in which is needful to borrow. It's a wicked thing to not repay your debts. Look in Ecclesiastes 5. Just a couple pages over. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse number 5 says, better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. It says later on, Ecclesiastes, when thou vowest a vow to God, defer not to pay it, for God hath not pleasures in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Listen, when you got your credit card, when you went to the bank and you signed up for your mortgage, you made a vow, you made a promise, I'm going to pay what I owe. And if you're not paying what you owe, listen, it's a wicked thing. You made a promise, so you better repay. Just like promising your kids something, so you also promise the bank that you would repay them. Don't declare bankruptcy on spiritual vows as well as temporal, is what I put. Man, you made a promise to God, don't renege on those, but you better keep your promises. So Bible says you made a promise, so you better repay it. Look over in James chapter number 4. Debt is being presumptuous upon the future. James chapter number 4, I know we're letting the Bible do the walk and just want you to see these verses. Hebrews, James chapter number 4 and verse number 13. The Bible says, go to now ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boast, and all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Debt is being presumptuous upon the future. What were they doing in James's day? They were making their plans. Here's what we're going to do in verse 13. We're today or tomorrow, so they're setting dates, right? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go into such a city. We're going to this place to do what? To buy and continue there a year. There was a time frame set to buy and sell and get gain. They had their business plans all laid out. Man, this is how we're going to make money. This is going to how we're going to provide for ourselves. These are the plans, right? And what did James say? He said, you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what's your life? It's even a vapor. A debt is presuming that everything's going to go according to plan in the future. And we don't know what our life is going to consist of. We don't know what the future may hold. And I wonder, sir, if you were to pass away, do you want your wife stuck with all that debt? I mean, I've seen it. I've counseled. I've talked to spouses of individuals where their husband passed away or wife passed away, and there was big debts that were owed. Hey, do you want that burden to be upon your spouse if perchance you were to pass away? Friday we went over to Miss Ann. Where are you at, Miss Ann? We went over to your restaurant, City Cafe, right? And the girl that was checking. The girl that was taking our cash, I was going to say checking us out. That wouldn't sound right, so I stopped that. But the girl that was taking our money, somebody came by and says, where's your husband? She said, oh, she said, he's not here. The wreck on 565 where Highway 20 was at was one of his best friends, and he died. And just as we were checking out, leaving that restaurant, hey, reminded me how quickly life goes by, right? So death is all around us. It is not wise to presume upon tomorrow, well, I'll pay this debt off next week, next month, next year. No, you better make sure you're being wise and not making promises on the future that you don't have a clue is going to take place. You don't know if you're going to keep your job. Think about Brother Tim. He's leaving. He left today, heading up to Ohio. For the last 3 months, Brother Tim's been out of work. He's been with that company that he was with for 20-plus years. And he walked in and he said, you're fired, Mr. Tim. And, you know, you're not guaranteed your job. We're not guaranteed our health, our wealth, or anything. What would happen if you were to have a debilitating, debilitating situation take place where, you know, you were on your back for 6 months? What would you do? So many times we make our plans thinking this is what I'm going to do, and really we don't know what our life is going to consist of. So so debt is being presumptuous upon the future. Debt enslaves the lender. Look in Proverbs 22. Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse number 7. The Bible says, the rich ruleth over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender. How many have heard that statement? The borrower is servant to the lender. You know, we live in a day and time where there's so many people that are enslaved. They're not. It's not like, you know, the old days where, you know, there was a master with the whip and you had to go work in the cornfields. But you know what? We're just more fancy today. Man, we got slavery all around. What are we doing? People are working to pay their debts. Well, you've heard it at your workplace. You know, how many people do you know that work to pay their bills and then complain about it the whole time? You know, it's like, man, you know, I got to go to work and work 50 hours a week so that way I can pay my cable bill, my cell phone bill, my light bill, my mortgage, my credit cards. And it's like, man, you know, that's not what life is all about. The Bible says that the righteous man is a giver and not somebody that is, you know, enslaved to that person they owe money to. Debt enslaves those that borrow. I had debt enslaves the lender, but debt enslaves the borrower, and he becomes servant to the lender. Illustration: college debt is crazy. 68% of college graduates, when they leave, have $30,000 or over in debt that they owe upon graduation. What a sad way to start your life out, owing $30,000 plus, and then they go to work at Lowe's and wonder why they can't meet their student loans. Let me just give you parents, those of you that have kids that are getting it. Listen, if your child doesn't know what he wants to do with his life, I knew when I graduated high school, I knew when I was in high school, I want to be a preacher. I'm going to Bible college. I'm going to seminary. That's what my focus was. So when it came to college, it really wasn't an issue. This is what I want to do. If your children really don't know what they want to do with their life, let me just encourage you, don't send them to some university to get some degree in economics or homemaking, or, you know, fine art, or PE, or some degree that they'll never use. Man, have them stay local, go to community college, take classes they're interested in, and you know, just help them walk through that process. So many kids go to state universities, they go to big-time expensive schools, and they get degrees in things they're not going to use, and it just sets them back for years. Financially, it's a debt enslaves the borrower. Debt many times is incurred because of a lack of contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. A contented Christian is not one that's going to go and borrow to keep up with everybody. Listen, are you content with what God's given to you? Are you content with the provision, what God has provided for your family? Man, we need to live that way. Lord, I may not have the greatest and latest, but it's okay. I don't need things to be right with you. Look over in John chapter number 6, another principle about debt. John chapter number 6 in verse number 12. John chapter 6 and verse number 12. The Bible says, when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore, they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments that remained, with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above what unto them that had eaten. I think I got the wrong verse on that one. But this is it. Interest on debt is a waste of resources. Well, I guess the principle here would be Jesus had just fed the 5,000. And Jesus said to those disciples, listen, we fed everybody, and man, the food's there, and let's not let the leftovers go to waste. And so he didn't just say, no, there was accountability, and so go on. Proverbs chapter 11, I don't know why I had the wrong passage on that. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 15. We'll see another principle here. Proverbs 11, verse number 15. It is dumb to co-sign a loan with someone else. Proverbs 11, 15. What does the Bible say about debt? He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth surety is sure. What does he say? He says, one that is surety, that means a guarantor. All right, that means, if I need a, how many have ever had somebody say, can you co-sign a loan with me? Yeah, how many of you ever, hey, can we go on joint credit card accounts or joint bank accounts? Let me just say something, all right? My dad used to say it this way, you've got a hole in your head if you do that. All right? It's like, I love Mountain Dew. My dad would be like, that's drinking bad Kool-Aid, all right? You co-sign with somebody, you're drinking bad Kool-Aid, all right? You got a hole in your head. It's an unwise thing to co-sign with somebody. It says if you're a guarantee or if you're a surety for somebody, he says in verse number 15, he says, for a stranger, you'll smart for it. What does that mean? You'll get ripped off. You'll be broke. Man, you will get hurt, and you will have regret, and there'll be frustration. And yet I see it in many homes. Well, let's just co-sign with Johnny for the credit card. Let's have joint bank accounts. Parents, let me just say this. Don't co-sign a loan for your kids. They want to have a credit card, then make them be responsible for it themselves. Parents, don't monitor your kids' bank accounts. And make sure they have enough money for their latte they are buying at Starbucks. A couple of overdraft fines will teach them a lesson. Parents, it's our job right now to teach our kids the importance of money. Don't bail them out at 30 years old. Teach your kids to grow up. If you have kids out of the house right now, I would encourage them to be on their own, in their bank accounts, in their spending habits. When a child leaves the house, you become more of a coach instead of being that parent. You become an advisor. And if they're on their own, man, let them flap their own wings and let them learn how to biblically deal with finances. Let them learn how to fall on their face. Let them learn how to write a check where it overdraws their bank account. It will help them to learn. Sometimes mistakes are good teaching tools, right? And it teaches us what not to do. That's how I've learned how to change my oil on a vehicle. Man, all the mistakes I made, all the times oil spilled on the ground, spilled on my face, all the times I forgot to put the plug in, all the times I left the cap off the engine, all the times I started the vehicle up and didn't put oil in. Man, I learned some valuable lessons from learning on my own, right? And so let me just say this, don't co-sign. It's a very unbiblical and unwise thing to go on as somebody else. So what does the Bible say about debt? Some biblical principles. It's number one, there are some circumstances, extenuating circumstances, in which it's okay, needful to borrow. I put medical emergency, funeral arrangements. Another one would be a house loan. Most of you don't have $150,000 lying around to go buy a house. So there are some extenuating circumstances, but it is a wicked thing to not repay your debts. It is, if you made a promise, you better repay it. A debt is being presumptuous upon the future. Debt enslaves the lender or the borrower. Debt many times is incurred because of a lack of contentment. Interest on debt is a waste of resources. It is dumb to co-sign a loan, go into debt with somebody else. You are smart if you decide to do it on your own. And so what should be our biblical practice regarding debt? We're almost done with this. A couple things I just wrote down here. If you are in debt, and as I look out of this church, I hope everybody's out of debt, but reality is probably that's not the case, all right? So if you are in debt, what should we do? Make sure that you are getting it paid off as quickly as possible. Man, just like Dave Ramsey talks about, that snowball effect. And boy, you say, well, I've got 5 credit cards with debt, all right? Start with the one with the highest interest, and man, just focus on that. Go without Starbucks. Go without Dunkin' Donuts. Go without, you know, you're going out to eat. Go without to get that paid off. And man, just focus on it. And then when you get that paid off, go to the next one and the next one and the next one until you're debt-free. And when you're debt-free, cut your stinking credit cards up and don't go back into debt. Man, practice that restraining when it comes to your spending. Number two, when it comes to debt, make sure you're not being covetous in your purchase. Make sure it's not because of covetousness that I'm making this decision. Man, make sure it's the will of God. Make sure you are seeking biblical counsel and following biblical principles when it comes to debt. And the reality is, as we look at our lives and as we examine our hearts, I believe a lot of us will avoid debt if we make sure we're not being covetous and we'll make sure that we're not presuming upon tomorrow. Really, if we were to practice James 4 and we would practice 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, godliness with contentment is great gain, I believe that it would change our habits and it would change our focus. Instead of wasting money on things that are temporal, we'd be more focused upon the things that are eternal. So what does the Bible say about debt? Some practical truths. And listen, I know some of you are tremendous with finances. And you know, you got some more things to add. Throw it my way. I enjoy talking about finances, enjoy talking about, you know, what does God say. But man, throw some things my way. But I think next week we're going to cover what does the Bible say about giving. And what should we do with our finances regarding giving? And we'll continue studying this thing about money. So practical things. I hope it helps you. You say, Pastor, I'm in debt, need help. Well, listen, come help. Come and let's talk. And later on, we're probably going to talk about how to live on a budget and how to biblically do it. And just some different things we're going to continue covering. All right. So be here next week as we continue diving into this biblical teaching on money. It's a biblical thing. And Jesus, again, preached more about money than he did about heaven and hell combined, because he knows where our treasure is, there will our heart be also. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. And help us, Lord, to apply some of these truths in our lives. If we are in debt, Lord, help us to work on getting out of it. If we're out of debt, help us to stay out of it. And the Lord, help us to remember that borrowing is an unwise thing, and that we ought to avoid it, because we realize Philippians 4 says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, give us a good break here and good fellowship, and then, Lord, be with the morning service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.